several nights had been cloudy. He noticed at once how much higher the Big and Little Dippers were. Riding north from Florida, he'd covered 20 degrees of latitude. Part of the tail of Scorpius was now hidden below the southern horizon. He wondered what new stars he'd gained to the north. He slipped the red cellophane over his flashlight, opened his book to circumpolar stars, and availed himself of his new view. At dawn, a barking dog woke him up. He gazed toward the east out the tent's open end. 10 different reds quickly came and went, as if the sky were showing color samples. He studied the clouds' calligraphy, their foreign alphabet indecipherable. Then a dam of light burst and flooded the east. The sun rose and the dawn display ended. It had all gone too quickly, like a dazzling amusement park flying past the bus window. "The darkness swallows up most of us," he heard the words spoken in the painter's voice, and suddenly saw his whirligig whole. He started in then and there and labored for 3.5 days on it. He played his harmonica when he felt like a break, and one day walked to the fabled town dump, returning with a small junk shop in his pack. The weather held clear. Each morning he woke to the purring of the lobster boats, and each night went to sleep with 2 years before the mast and his flashlight. After lunch, he stopped in at the office and consulted the shelf of nature guides, searching for shells he'd found or birds he'd seen, and writing their names in a notebook. In this way, he knew it